It's a pleasure and privilege to get to share this first Sunday of the new year with you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you in worship. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. A story that was at least partly enacted for you moments earlier in our service with our three magi processing. But we hear these words now from Matthew's gospel. Hear the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring word so that I may go and also pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It was a dark, cloudy, and dreary afternoon. And I was walking home from a meeting and walking through my neighborhood, as I tended to do pretty regularly. And as I was making that walk, though, the outer weather was really an external expression of my inward state of being. I was in a heavy season of life. I was carrying some great uncertainties and burdens. There were concerns I had for members of my family, for close friends. I was uncertain at that point in my life where my future might be heading. And so as I continued my walk through this dark and dreary day, I found my countenance slowly drooping and my head gradually falling further and further as my gaze focused on the sidewalk in front of me. And then, just like a scene out of a movie, a cloud burst and it starts raining. Perfect. So I put my hood up on my raincoat and I walk further. At this point, you really could cue the Charlie Brown music. When Charlie Brown is walking home from some place that he's failed yet again, and he's walking along, the music goes da 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 da, and he's droopily walking along through his neighborhood. I felt the same way. Like there was a single cloud just over me, raining on top of me. It was one of those days. Well, eventually the rain stopped. It only was a cloud burst of a few minutes. But I kept my hood over my head and I kept walking on my downward trajectory, just looking at the sidewalk ahead of me. Until a few moments later, I heard a voice. And it was the voice of a young child. And it sort of startled me because I was lost in my own thoughts and trying to process through these issues in my life. And the young voice called out, "Hey, Mom, come outside. You've got to see this." curious, I kind of looked over to hear where the voice was coming from, and there was a boy and his mom on their front porch. And the boy was pointing up towards the horizon. And so I finally lifted my countenance and looked up, and there was a stunningly beautiful rainbow. And it caught my breath because it had so suddenly appeared. And I was awestruck at the beauty of this sight. And I stopped my walk just to gaze at it for a few moments. And being a 21st century citizen of our country, I did what most people do when they're stopped by something that's awe-inspiring or amazing. I took my phone out, and I wanted to capture it for posterity. And I had just at this time gotten an iPhone for the first time, and iPhone has this great feature called panoramic, where you can move your phone across a panorama, and it will capture all of it in your lens for your picture. And so I decided to turn my phone sideways to landscape setting and to try and get a panorama of this beautiful rainbow. And I got a pretty good shot of it. And I continued walking on my way, and my heart was feeling a little bit lighter. My countenance had lifted somewhat. And I got home and I plugged in my phone to put the picture on my computer. And I wanted to see it on a bigger screen. And then when it came up on my screen, my breath was caught again. The sight took my breath away because the picture revealed something I didn't see the first time. And that was that this wasn't a single rainbow. It was actually very faintly a double rainbow, which for me became a double revelation. Something that caught me so much by surprise in a moment where I was least expecting this kind of vision that it stirred something in me. It gave me a bigger picture to consider. It allowed me to step back and see not only the beauty of creation, but the trajectory of my own life and the concerns that I carry with me from a broader perspective. To see my life as part of a much bigger picture, a bigger mosaic, and to see that actually in the midst of some of the heaviness and the uncertainty and the anxiety and sadness that I was feeling, that there are still moments of joy. And sometimes those moments catch us unaware, and they heighten our senses, and they set our imaginations spinning. And they set our hearts stirring once again. We read these words from Scripture, from Matthew's Gospel, that for many of us are very familiar. It's a familiar part of our Advent season and Christmas story. And we hear of these three mysterious travelers, these magi, as they were known. They weren't necessarily kings, as far as we understand. Folklore has sort of made them royalty over the centuries, and rightly so, because they enacted something that is meant to inspire us to a greater vision and a greater purpose in life. They were stargazers. They were astrologers, but they weren't the kind that you could call on one of those old 1-900 numbers. They were more scholars. They were ones who not only studied the cosmos, but they also studied philosophy and writings from various regions around the world. They were incredibly educated and learned men. And as they studied the stars, they weren't just looking for patterns and interesting shapes. They were looking for meaning. They were looking for a way to understand more fully what's the purpose of life. Why are we here? Where are we headed? Where is this all leading? And so when they saw a star in the sky that was bigger than our moon, as far as they could perceive, they found themselves surprised. It took their breath away. Their hearts were stirred. Their imaginations were fired, and it set them on a journey. And they sent out on a journey that in which they traveled many, many miles from the Far East to the Middle East. And it wasn't just studying the stars that got them on this journey. It was also studying those words and remembering something from the Jewish scriptures that pointed to one who was coming, whose announcement would come through the majesty and miraculousness of a star in the sky. And so the star and the words guided their journey and empowered them to the Middle East, to Jerusalem. And when they get to Jerusalem, they aren't quite sure where to go from there. And so what do? Unlike most men, they stop and ask for directions. They go to the highest power in the land, to the courts of the king, Herod. And they ask, we've read in these scriptures that there's one to be born who is to be a king. We want to visit him. We've brought gifts, the very best of what we have. And Herod, who was a king himself, and at the time thought he was literally king of the Jews, met this band of merry men with a bit of suspicion. And so he called his religious advisors, the chief priests and scribes, and said, can you enlighten them? Is there anything in your writings that could give them some indication of where they're headed? And the scribes, basically like they were gas station attendants giving directions, quote off the top of their heads, oh yeah, in Bethlehem. That's where this one is to be born. And the Magi say, wonderful. We're on our way. Bethlehem, 5 miles down the road. Ironic that the ones who quote the scripture don't follow the Magi. I'll just let that one float out there for you to consider. But the Magi continue. The ones who aren't the religious insiders, the ones who are the outsider stargazers, continue the journey, and they see that it's coming to its end. The star firing their imaginations, the words clarifying the direction of their journey, and they get to Bethlehem, and they find where the star has stopped. And what does it say? They were filled with joy. And upon entering the house, what do they see? They see the family. They see the young child, they see the mother, they see the father. Can you imagine? Their breath once again is taken away. And yet they come to encounter and gaze upon the one who gave them breath in the first place. And I imagine in that encounter, their breath being given back to them in a new way. In a deeper way, in a richer way, in a fuller and more meaningful way. The gifts that they bring seem kind of inconsequential compared to the gift that they are now given the opportunity to receive. The one who is the source of life coming to us in the most vulnerable and tiniest and most fragile version of human life. They meet the child, and their eyes turn from the heavens and from the cosmos down as they bow in reverence, in worship, in awe and wonder and mystery at this little one, this tiny little package, who is the greatest gift given to all of humanity. What does a strange story like this have for people like us in the 21st century? I wonder if it's, like many stories in Scripture, an opportunity to be reawakened, to maybe pay attention to things that become so commonplace in our lives that if we're moving too quickly, we move right past them. Or maybe it's not that we're moving too quickly, but we're moving so slowly because we are weighed down with anxieties and worries and concerns, that it's hard to see anything else in our lives. Where has there been a moment in your life? If you think back over this past year, as we're now in the new year of 2015, where was there a moment where something in creation captured your attention, surprised you, popped out of the sky like an enormous star, or came into your vision like a double rainbow? Could it have been a sunrise that may have been like any other sunrise, and yet for whatever reason, in that instant, in that moment, something spoke to you, something was revealed to you? Could it be in that glance of the person that you see every day at work, or the person that you know here in church? Or could it be the expression of someone that's a stranger that you walked by walking through your neighborhood? Where has there been a moment where out of creation, revelation has come for you this year? Where has there been a word that you've heard that has spoken to you into the depths of where you live? For me, in that instant, the word was not from scripture or from any religious tradition. It was a kid yelling out to his mom, "Hey, mom, look at this." That was prophetic for me. It doesn't always have to be Holy Writ. Sometimes it can be in the want ads of the newspaper. It can be a passing comment. It can be something that we read that just leaps up off of the page and startles us into an awakening or a reawakening. What has been a way in this past year that you have encountered the presence of that child in Bethlehem, the spirit of the one who gives us life, the person of Jesus, who reveals himself so often in ways that are surprising, that are unexpected, that are unpredictable? And as I even ask that question, I think to myself how for so many of us, myself included, that's a very hard question to answer, because we're at a season in life where we don't sense that presence. We haven't experienced the Spirit of Jesus in a way that's tangible, in a way that's remarkable and rememberable. What about then? Could it be that those are the seasons when we remember or are reminded or are awakened to the fact that so often God makes his presence known to us through his absence? As Frederick Buechner once wrote, could it be that one of the best ways we get to know God is by missing him? I mean, think about it. Right here on this table is the central symbol of our faith tradition. It is, at times, what we cling on to when all else is shifting, when all else is seemingly being turned inside out and upside down. We come to the cross to remember the one who lived, the one who died, the one who rose, to give us hope, to give us a future, to give us life. How often do we remember that this cross is empty? That tomb is empty. And that it's a symbol of emptiness that reminds us of the presence. If you were to ask the Magi what the meaning of life was, I imagine they would say something like, "It's written in the stars." And then I hear the echo of the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, where he tells his readers and tells us, his hearers, all these centuries later, that we were created by the one who knows us, the one who loves us, the one who will never leave us or forsake us. Created by God to shine like stars in the universe. In all of our blessedness and all of our brokenness, not in spite of everything, but embraced with everything by the one who has given everything for us. The Magi were transformed by their experience of encountering Jesus. And they went back to their country by another road. Where do you think the road will take you this year? I'm wondering where the road will take me this year. You never really do know until you take a step and another step and another step. How is God calling each of us to travel the road of life in this year ahead, as individuals, as a community of faith, on a different path, in a different way, with a vision that maybe surprises us, with opportunities and possibilities that we couldn't see a year ago? May we know, just like the rainbow reminds us, that the God who knows us and loves us and empowers us in Jesus Christ is traveling that road with us and will truly never leave us alone, will never forsake us. And may we remember that when any of us asks the question, what is the meaning of life? Maybe one of the ways we could answer is simply to remember Jesus and to look at each other and to say, it's written in the stars. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.